This morning we'd like you to turn with us to the fourth chapter and verse 6, where the angel answered Zechariah when he had asked him if he understood what he was seeing, and he said, "No." Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, "This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it." The 70 years in which Israel was taken captive and dwelt in Babylon is over. And a decree has been signed by the Persian king, allowing the people of Israel who desired to return to their homeland. And the first contingency, numbering about 50,000 and led by Ezra, has made the trek across the plains from Babylon and have come back to Jerusalem. Ezra had been given money by the Persian king, as well as the vessels and instruments that had been used in the temple worship but were taken by Nebuchadnezzar to Babylon. He has given them back to Ezra to return to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple and again put these vessels in the temple where they might again be used by the people in the worship of God. But no sooner did they start the project of the rebuilding of the temple than many problems arose. The people who had sort of moved into that territory while the land was vacant those 70 years began to challenge them, began to hinder them. And the job was much bigger than they had dreamed or realized. The rubble of the temple that was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar was just a huge mountain there on the Temple Mount. And it wasn't long before the people became discouraged with the project of the rebuilding of the temple, and they just let it go. And they began to turn their efforts towards their own homes, rebuilding their own homes and getting them all plastered and fixed up and planting their gardens and their vineyards. And so the prophet Haggai came along to encourage them to get back to the work of the rebuilding of the temple. He pointed out their crop failures, and he pointed out their near poverty conditions. And he said, "It's because you've got the wrong priorities. You have put yourselves first and God second. You've put your own interest above the interest of God. And so let's get back and let's rebuild the temple." And he encouraged them in the rebuilding efforts. And so once again, Zerubbabel started the people in the rebuilding process of the temple. And at this time, as they were just getting started again, there was still a mountain of rubble. The prophet Zechariah came along, and he had this very interesting vision in the night. The Lord awakened him, and he said, "What do you see, Zechariah?" And he said, "Well, I see this golden bowl, and it's sitting atop of these seven golden lampstands. And there are pipes that go from the bowl into each of the cups, the seven cups of the lampstand." And he said, "Do you understand what you see?" He said, "No, I don't understand it." And so the angel that talked to him said, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. It's not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts, that this mountain will be moved before Zerubbabel, and it will become a plain or flat. Now, the seven golden lampstands was a symbol in the temple. It was called the menorah, and it was a symbol of how that God intended the nation of Israel to be his light to the world. God wanted his people to be a light to a world of darkness so that people could see the blessings that will come to a nation and a people whose God is Jehovah. In the temple, it was the daily duty of the priest to fill these little cups on that lampstand with oil. Oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, and it was through the oil that the lamp was kept burning. And so the priest every day would go in and he would fill the cups with oil and make certain that the light was burning there in the holy place of the temple as he would attend to the filling of the cups with oil as a part of his daily duty. Now, Zechariah, in his vision, saw a very fascinating and interesting kind of a situation here. For there was this bowl on top of the, or above the lampstand, and pipes going from the bowl into each of the cups. And there was an olive tree on the right side and the left side, and there were pipes coming from its branches into the bowl, so that the golden oil was flowing from the olive trees directly into the bowl, which fed the cups. It's sort of a Rube Goldberg kind of a thing, where the priest wouldn't have to daily go around and fill each cup, but they are automatically being filled from the life from the olive trees, or the oil that flows from the olive trees. And so he saw this interesting vision. Now in the New Testament, in the book of Revelation chapter 1, as John had his vision, he saw the seven golden lampstands. And he saw Jesus walking in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. And as his vision was explained to him, the Lord declared that the seven golden lampstands were the seven churches. So that, again, you find that where Israel was to be the light to the world, bringing them the light of God's message and truth, so now that responsibility has been placed on the church. Jesus said to his disciples, "You are the light of the world." And it is our responsibility, it is our duty to bring the light of Jesus Christ to the darkened world in which we live. And Jesus, in John's vision, was walking in the midst of the seven golden lampstands, which, of course, was the truth of Jesus in the midst of his church. He said, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst." Now, when Zechariah had his vision, he asked the angel, "What is this that I am seeing?" And he said, the angel said, "Don't you know what it is?" And he said, "No." And so in explaining it, he said, "This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel. It's not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. What are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you will become a plain. The Lord is declaring to Zerubbabel how the work is to be done. The people had earlier discovered that they didn't have the might. They didn't have the power. They had started out with great eagerness and great excitement in the rebuilding of the temple. When they laid the foundation, there was a time of tremendous rejoicing. People were all excited. But then, as they really got to the task of it, it seemed insurmountable. It seemed like it was more than what they could do, and they soon became discouraged and had actually given up in their endeavor to rebuild the temple. They had tried on their own, and they had failed. And they had given up hope of ever seeing it accomplished. But that was just the problem. They were trying to do it in their own ability, in their own strength, and in their own energies. I believe that this truth is an ageless truth. There is a work of God that needs to be accomplished. But it can't be accomplished by the might or the power of man. The only way the work of God can be accomplished is through the power of the Holy Spirit. The church has been commissioned by Jesus to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And when we look at the vastness of the world and the many different cultures, and we see the problems of world missions, the nations that have closed themselves to missionary endeavors and all, we are prone to just sort of give up. In fact, many great mission boards that once were quite active in supporting missions throughout the world have closed their doors. But we usually establish mission boards to devise strategies for foreign mission programs. And then we pick out the candidates for missions. Usually if they have a degree in sociology or a degree in anthropology, we feel that this will enable them to adequately meet the needs of the people. But so often, our missionaries are more interested in bringing a Western culture to these people than they are the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I do believe in teaching the primitive people good hygiene, the law that God gave to the nation of Israel was a law of hygiene, as well as relationships to man and to God. And I do believe in medical missionaries and helping the people physically. But I do not believe that that is the primary goal of missions. I believe that the primary goal is the sharing of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because if you heal the sicknesses of their body with good hygiene or with medical facilities, and you are not bringing to them the truth of Jesus Christ, they will die in their sins and ultimately will be no better off. But we look at the cause of world missions, and the mountain seems to be too great to move. England, who was once the center and the heart of world missions, has now become a missionary field. And we are prone to give up What is wrong with the church and its mission program? We have sought by might and power and the genius of man to do the job, rather than being led and empowered by the Spirit of God. It's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. We've come to trust more in education than we have inspiration. That's not to put down education. We need to study to show ourselves approved unto God, but we need Spirit-filled professors in our Bible colleges and in our seminaries, rather than those who challenge and tear down the faith of the students. Education is not a satisfactory substitute for the power of the Holy Spirit. The disciples did not have a single degreed man among them. There wasn't a PhD in the crowd, and yet they turned the world upside down for Jesus Christ. And the New Testament tells us that God has chosen the simple things of the world to confound the wise, so that the wise just sort of scratch their heads and say, how do they do it? But it's not by might, it's not by power, it's not by man's genius, but it's by the power of the Holy Spirit that the mountains can be moved and the Lord can build his temple. Let's bring it closer to home. Some of you today are facing some real mountains in your own life. Financial mountains. Relationships that are going sour. You've been seeking every possible way to move those mountains, but they seem to be immovable. And some of you have come to the place of despair. You feel that it's hopeless. You're tired and you're weary, and it just doesn't seem to matter anymore. You've given up. You've tried your hardest to make things come together, and it seems like your best efforts have ended in failure. You seem to be falling into a black hole that is so dark that light cannot even escape it. But it's not by might nor by power. And you need the help of the Holy Spirit. And God has promised to you the help of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit can do for you what you can't do for yourselves. Now, the Bible tells us that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit that is in you. And God is seeking to build his temple in you. But there are a lot of obstacles. Mountains of obstacles. There are problems in your flesh. There are desires and lusts of your flesh that have controlled you. And as the result, you look at the problems, you look at the mountains, and you feel, though I want it, I just can't do it, because you've tried. You've tried to extricate yourself from those relationships that you knew were destroying you. From those things of the flesh that you knew were tearing you down. But there was so much rubble. The mountain was so big that you finally have given up. You've given up hope. But the word of the Lord to you is the same as it was to Zerubbabel. It's not by might. It's not by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. He can and will remove those mountains. As the psalmist said, vain is the help of man, but through our Lord we shall do valiantly. The Lord declared that Zerubbabel with his hands had laid the foundation of the house and that he would finish it. Through the help now of the Holy Spirit, he's going to finish it. The Bible tells us that he who has begun a good work in you shall continue. And the Lord will finish or perfect that which concerneth you. He speaks in verse 10. How that the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro through the whole earth. That's a partial quotation of the word of the Lord to Asa the king. The full quotation is this. The prophet said to Asa the king, don't you know that the eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the entire earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are perfect towards him? God is looking for that person who is desperate, that person who has a longing and a desire to see the temple of God built in his own life, that his life become a place of worship unto the Lord, a place of holiness unto God. That person who has tried and failed, but his heart still yearns after that ideal in Jesus. And the eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong, to show his power and to grant his power to those whose hearts are perfect towards him. God wants to show himself strong on your behalf. And some of you today, you that are here this morning, have come to the place where, like the children of Israel, you've sort of given up. The job just seems to be more than what you can handle. The mountains are too high. But I would like to encourage you to submit your lives this morning to the Holy Spirit and see what God can do. You've discovered what you can't do, and that's good. It often is necessary for us to discover we can't do it before we'll really let God do it in us. And if you've come to that place of giving up, that place of frustration and futility, but you still have a desire for God's work to be wrought, you still have the desire to walk in full fellowship with him, freed from the power of sin, you're in a good position because it's not by might nor by power. You've discovered that, but now it's time for you to discover the second half. But by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts, and it's time for you to just turn it over to the Holy Spirit and find the power of the Spirit to do it. Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Your life can be a witness for Christ. Your life can show forth the light of Jesus Christ to this dark world when you are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. The Lord told the people through Jeremiah the prophet, and you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. And that word is true to you today. You will seek and find the Lord the day that you search for him with all of your heart. That day when you're so desperate and you've no place else to turn and all of your efforts have failed. All of your schemes and devices have not been sufficient. You're still lacking. You're still going down. It's still not being done. And in that place of desperation, you start searching and seeking for the Lord with all of your heart. The Lord said, in that day you will find him. And you will find that his power is sufficient, that he is able to do for you what you can't do for yourself. And he can move the mountains. It's interesting that Jesus talked about the faith that moves mountains. And I think that he is talking about those mountains in our own life, the rubble and the junk that is there from the past and from our flesh. And he's able to move those mountains when you put your trust fully in him. The Lord should not be considered as our last resort, but he should be our first resort. And if we would make him our first resort, chances are we would probably never come to the place of last resort. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be taken care of. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord, this mountain will become a plain before Zerubbabel. It'll be moved, and God will receive the glory because he is the one who has done the work. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your word to Zerubbabel, and it is your word to us today who are faced with impossible situations, who are faced with mountains of difficulties, problems and situations that are beyond our control. We who long, Lord, to be your light, we who long to be your witnesses to the world, and yet, Lord, there are those things within our own lives that are like mountains that are keeping us from being the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, we come to you today, weary, tired from our own feeble efforts that did not avail. And we look to you for your Holy Spirit and the power of your Holy Spirit to fill our lives, to empower us to be your light, your witness. In Jesus' name, amen. Shall we stand? The message today needs no further application. I feel the Spirit has already spoken to our hearts, and it is up to us to respond in one way or the other. If God has spoken to your spirit today and you want to respond, you really want to know and experience the power of God's Spirit to move those mountains that you're faced with, just open up your heart. Ask the Spirit to take over. Maybe you'd like to go back to the prayer room and allow the pastors and the counselors to pray for you, that you might experience this week that power of God moving the mountains in your life. God can make the plain out of the mountains. He can flatten them out. He can remove them by the power of his Spirit. He can do what you can't do. And I would encourage you, turn it over to him in Jesus' name.